First, I'll just a very interesting story that, good evening on both sides. A very interesting story that I saw by the Heiligen Tzav Sofer. Rabbi Avraham Shmuel ben Yamin Sofer was a Peshburg Rav. He was a Rav in Peshburg, and he was a son of the Heilige Chassam Sofer. And interestingly, he was the one that, Chassam Sofer was Rav in Peshburg for 33 years, and his son was for 33 years, I think we mentioned it once, so he was the second. His grandson was also Rav for 33 years, and so forth. So the Ksav Sofer was the second one, and his name was Avraham Shmuel ben Yamin, and he was the Rav in Peshburg. And there's an interesting story that happened in his times, that there was in a certain village not far in Hungary, there was once one a very high ranking official, passed through the village. And for some reason or another, he had a fortune of money with him. I don't know if it was precious stones, or I don't exactly know what the details of it, but he had a huge amount of fortune with him. And as he was traveling through the village through the night, I don't know if it was stolen or it fell out, I'm not quite sure, but some incident happened, and as he had left the village, he wasn't with him anymore. And in the next morning, what I do know was that it was a goy who actually had found it or stole it. I couldn't get clear in the story. It was a goy who actually stole it, managed to steal it from this high-ranking official, or it was actually fell and he found it. Either way, the high-ranking official passed the village, and he eventually turned out that he worked out that his huge amount of fortune had disappeared. And this goy was very, very happy with his fortune that he made, and he was very happy. But it turned out that this high-ranking official tried to get back that money, so he went back into that. His whole entourage, he went back and he said that whoever, you have to return that money, whoever has got it, please return it now. But nobody, and he didn't listen. He said, I'm going to get away with it. And this official tried again and again, and nobody answered his calls, whether it was in writing, whether it was public announcements, but the money didn't come back. It just didn't come back. And then he said, okay, fine, if that's the case, he had a very huge, a very, very big entourage of police and guards, etc. And he said he's going to have house to house. He's going to have a house to house check. What is that called? They're going to have one house to the other until they actually find it. They're going to go from every. It was the only village, so it was a reasonable attempt. They're going to try from every single house until they actually find it. They're going to go through every single house. Every single flat is going to be turned upside down until they find that fortune. And they started. And that guy who had found the money, who had the money in his possession, was getting quite nervous. And he said he had no choice. But himself, he had a Yiddish neighbor, a Jewish neighbor, and he thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hide it in my Jewish neighbor's, in his flat, and they were close enough connected. He was able to sneak in and hide his fortune in the Yiddish house, and he hid it somewhere, and then he felt I'm fine. And indeed, a short time after the guards and the police they searched through the house and they found it in Yiddish house. The guy's house, of course, was nothing to be found. In Yid's house, that's where the money was found. And of course, Achun Vey, he was the ganav. He never returned the money that wasn't his. And they took him in chains and they took him into prison. And they decided they're going to hang him up as a Yiru Yilmud. They should see and they should learn that that's not the way you treat government officials. And he's to be hanged indeed. And it was quite a tragedy. And of course, you can imagine the whole city, Ve'ir, the whole city was mamash in distressed, but there was nothing to do. So they tried that the approach to God, Hador, was the Ksav Sefer, and approached him before he could please try to see to it. And he tried with all his protectia, connections that he had in the government, and connections that he had with lawyers and high ranking, and all the people that he had. He tried, made any connection, anything, but to no success at all. There was no success at all. There was absolutely nobody, nothing responded. They tried this avenue and that approach. And absolutely nothing worked. And they decided they're going to hang up this yid, and nothing doing. And they tried, and nothing worked out. On the night before this yid was going to be hung, the Heilige Ksav Sofer has a dream. In his dream, his father, the Heilige Ksav Sofer, appears to his dream. And he says, and his father, Ksav Sofer, tells Ksav Sofer, what's going on? Is a yid going to be hanged tomorrow? What are you going to do about it? And the Ksav Sofer then says to his father, they were very close, he was actually a very close Talmud, he was actually probably the Talmud Muvik of his father. And he says, Tata Rebbe, I think he called him Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, I tried everything, I spent all my avenues, and I tried all the approaches, all attempts, went no success, I can't help him. And then Chassam Sofer says, in dream, he tells Chassam Sofer, you think you've tried everything, you haven't even started trying. You haven't even started trying. Because the only thing that really helps is when nothing else works, what really helps is to daven to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what you really have to try. And that's when the dream stopped. That Chassam Sofer then woke up, it was the middle of the night, and he said, we have to do that. He called all the Yidden together in the Beis HaMikdash. He tried all the Yidden in the Beis HaMikdash. He woke up, they went around with a vekel. Like in olden days, they used to go around with a bell. And instead of waking people up at 6, so I don't know what time it was there. You know the vekel, even the Morgan Avom speaks about it. It's the Yiddish word for an alarm clock. And there was a person going around with a bell. Did anybody learn in Gateshead? Yeah, you remember the bell in Gateshead, yeah? So in Gateshead Yeshiva, I don't know if they still do, probably still do. They go around, it's like... Sounds a bit old-fashioned, but so there was a whole village that would go around with a bell to wake up the people at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know whenever the Zman of Shachiz was. So they went up in the middle of the night and they woke up the whole village and all the men gathered into Beis HaMikdash and started davening good and proper, and davened Mamashet to Tehillim and davened to Burnishler, and it was a proper davening, tears in the Eden's eyes. It's the last chance, last opportunity. And after davening, Tor went back home, and the next day, wonders of wonders, of course, what was that the judge who was involved officially of passing the case suddenly thought of, you know, actually, how we haven't really pursued all the avenues. Let's maybe these neighbors who had any say in it, and they contact the neighbors to ask the Yid's neighbors. And of course, as soon as they approached this goy who was actually the real person who was really chayev, he started stuttering and stammering, and he was wrong. It turned out that he was actually guilty. Quite soon within the interrogation, in conversation, it turned out that he was actually not so innocent at all. And it turned out that he was mamash the one, the guilty, and the whole shtick was came apparent. And of course, the Yid didn't have to be hanged at all, and everything was shalom. And so on. Instead, the goy was punished instead. But what the Chassam Sofer said, he learned from here, is an unbelievable thing, that we always, when we look at davening, look, that there's many avenues that we can, you know, there's shtadlus, and there's this, and there's that, and there's trying. But really, when it really boils down, and one of the many things a person can do is daven to Ribbono Shel Olam as well. But the Ksav Sofer said that really, really what this taught him is that, as his father in the dream, he said, is that really, when you really want, the real thing really is davening. When everything else fails, then it's a real place for davening. That's bitso, I think it's called. When everything else fails, daven to Ribbono Shel Olam, you're the only one that can help. There's nothing else that can keep us going. There's nothing else. And that's what he realized from this incident. We should all be zeichet to have access to this midah.
I must apologize. I said two people aren't here because of me.
Oh, really?
A text came through and I thought it was from you saying it's no shit
now. Oh, really?
I'm at home, actually. Course, so.
Oh, I see. Okay, good. I don't know about my was it a confusing text?
It was from Moshe Lerner.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. Okay, fine. Okay, so Rabbeisai, I would like to address just one shaila that was asked yesterday, and then I was asked again, and I was asked three times, and maybe it wasn't so clear, so I apologize for that. Mr. Shenholz asked, and others as well asked the question about Tanesim. Let's get this 100% clear. We addressed the shaila as to whether we've spoken in Sif Dalet and in Sif Hey. We mentioned about the issa of eating before Shachis. And we addressed also the shaila of eating before Alois. And I would like to just, for a couple of minutes, just address halacha lemaisa to shaila of eating on the tainis prior to Shachis. So imagine the tainis, which tainis is it? It's one or two tainis which is really relevant. That you could still, Alois and Shachis is really, really late.
The
tables for sure. Even Tainis Esther, maybe sometimes. You want to wake up before Alois HaShacha, which you're probably anyway up before Alois HaShacha, just before Alois HaShacha, and you want to eat something, and then go to Daven. So, you are eating before Alois HaShacha, which is before the time of the Tainis. You want to eat in order to be able to fast till 4 o'clock, right? So we want to know, as whether this is fine, is mutter also based on the halachas that we learned. Let's try to get a consensus. Rabbi Yisai, what do you think?
Well, first thing is, I'm not sure if it's been explicitly said it, but can you start a meal half an hour before Alos or not? I don't know if the Shulchan said it specifically, although it's been kind of
right.
Of Bura, so
Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah here, admittedly, doesn't actually mention specifically half an hour. The Bialacha does. But he does, the Bialacha does say half an hour. And, yeah, he does mention. But let's leave this out for a moment, because what do you want to say? You want to say that...
The first question is, if you can eat, can you only eat within longer than half an hour before, or you can eat up to... Say our loss is 6 o'clock. You have to start eating before 5:30, or you can start eating.
Good. Half 5. Good. Can you eat literally 10 minutes before, or why half an hour? Okay. Because where does the half an hour come from? This half an hour would be because we find in other areas of halacha. We're going to be seeing that later as well. There's a half an hour because of half an hour. We do find it. No.
Why
is it not mentioned here? The half an hour. Yeah. Good point. Different areas of halacha.
Yeah.
Good. That's very much to be halacha. This is what you're saying. Yeah. So what do you tell Rabbi Yisai? You have to wash and eat and wash maybe even and eat.
You can't wash. Well, that's what I have to know. Half an hour before you can't wash. You can eat.
You can eat, but you can't wash. Right. Okay. So let's discuss. Rabbi Feingold. Shudas Shloim HaMelech B'Shaitoi. As the posting in Melachim says, Shlomo HaMelech's feasts were incredible. It says hundreds and thousands of meat per meal. So, Shlomo HaMelech b'shaitoi, would you be able to eat a meal just before Alois HaShacha, if you fancy, if you have the appetite, to eat a fancy meal before Alois HaShacha on Tainus? What do you tell him? You say it's fine? Okay, so let's get clarified 2 points. One point that we mustn't forget is that whenever we talk about a tainus, we have to remember there's a tnai that has to be made. As soon as you go, if you want to, normally the assumption is that if you go to sleep, then you have a kaval tainus to some extent. We know that for sure. We know that from Tisha B'Av anyway. So it's better, I don't remember if it's mamash ikov, or it's better that when you go to sleep, in order to make sure that the hanoche is not that you're accepting the tainus, you should make a tnai. Make a tnai that I'm going to sleep, I'm not mekabel the tainus yet. So if you've, that's the first point, that if we're talking about eating prior to tainus, prior to alois, you need to make sure to make a tnai. That's point number one. So, a tnai to make a tnai. I don't remember now offhand if it's ma'akev or not. But at lechatchila for sure you should make it, you should say, tnai, I'm not mekabel the tainus yet until this man. That's point number one. Point number two, there is that one thing for sure we mentioned, and that is that the Ari that we learned yesterday, and the Zohar Kodesh that we made in Sivkot and Chof Ches, who teaches us what? That's right. Even once you've gone to sleep, you wake up midnight, L'chadchilin shouldn't eat anything. Indeed, admittedly, he does say that if you need it for the Koiches, for learning, it's fine. But there's a certain chumrah of not eating. So there's a certain chumrah, you keep that in mind. So certain chumrah of not eating. That would apply here as well.
Is that
Zohar? Yeah. It's a Zohar Kodesh, which is a chumrah. Okay, that's not, it's not an Issa, it's a chumrah ba'alma. But besides that, do you think there's any other Issa that, have we mentioned any other Issa? What do you think? Before Allah is to eat? Yeah, Pashas, it's fine. Abba said, Pashas, it's fine. Excluding, once you have ensured you have made it tonight, and if you're not makbar on this chumrah, you can eat. You can eat. You can eat. You can eat. You can eat before Lais HaShacha. You can eat before Lais HaShacha.
What about the half an hour?
So the half an hour before is something mentioned in Bialocha. The Bialocha doesn't seem to actually asa this half an hour. It doesn't seem to be mamash asa. It doesn't seem to be straight out. I know there are machmirim. Depending on what you're going to eat. I know there are machmirim. But the mice in the Bialocha, it's not explicitly also. Now, you have to start after that, before the half an hour. It's not mamash leisa. So there's certainly room to washing. When it comes to washing, there are more machmirim. When it comes to washing proper within the half an hour, there are a number of machmirim. But again, this is not mamash Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, but it doesn't ask. It doesn't mamash leisa. The Bialocha.
No,
where is that? Let's see. You're right. That's right. Sorry, you're right. it commits you 100% right. Thank you so much, Rabbi Feingold. I made a mistake. I was recruiting the Bialoch and I forgot Mishnah Berurah. 100% right. You're right. He said explicitly, let's see this Chof Zayin right. Thank you so much. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot and Chof Zayin. Hizchilei Choyl. Afilo Yo Beheta. Dehainu She Yoisim Mechatzi Shoah Ad Alayis Shachah. He said, Besoich HaChatzi Shoah Osu Lehazchilei Choyl. He said, you're not allowed to start eating it within the half an hour. If it is, you're still a kibbutz. That's right. Kmo shkaza ramo b'sim tov chesh nubis liga belulav v'atin liga b'kiyas shmod yiraisle. Tafki mo echol you're still a kibbutz. Tav derech kva holish tos kishiyze. Apochas meze mutar adam yitzah shachar. Thank you so much, Rabbi Feingold. Indeed. Now, if you start eating you're still a kibbutz, that would take be also within the half an hour according to the Mishnah Berurah. If it's less than a kibbutz, which is a fair amount, then within the half an hour you can start as well. That will be, good question. I don't know. It would probably make a difference of about 2, 3, 4 minutes, no more, but yeah.
A bit more, especially in terms of
can make a difference. Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know. Good question. Very good question. Yeah, very good. Okay. See, Vov. Afilu lilmoit also mishagiyaz man tefillah. Even learning is also. Now learning, to start learning, the fact that to start learning is also, that is for another reason. Start learning is also for another reason, because we are concerned, if you start learning before shachis, you're going to be so engrossed in your learning, you may forget davening. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, afilu lilmoit also mishagiyaz man tefillah. Once it's the time of davening, then it's also to start learning. But it doesn't apply to anybody. What is the condition? Somebody who davens beves midroshoy. Now we all know that every individual has got a little corner in the house which is a besmedrosh, and that's what he's referring to. He's talking about davening bechidah, as the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah says, he's talking about mispal bechidahs. Sifkotan. Lamed Beis, Rotsalama Beyechidus. So he said that if you, Vayinu Mishrogel Ispal Beveis Midrosh, somebody davens Beyechidus, Vayinu Yrogel Elech Beis Aknesses, and he doesn't normally go to Shul, Teikel Amecha Shdel Mamitrit Begirse Vyavos Mankiash Meitfile. He said, a person who davens normally at home, for whatever reason, he's unwell, or better yet, he lives in a place where there is no minyan, or he lives far enough from a place that he doesn't have to go to a minyan. So then the halacha is, because he davens b'chidus every single day, he is not allowed to start learning half an hour before davening. Because what's going to happen, he's going to learn, he's going to want to finish the amud, he wants to finish the daf, and he's going to keep going, he's going to end up, he's going to end up missing davening. And Shema, but if it's somebody who tends to go to shul, mutter, he is allowed to start learning half an hour before shachis. Because he is going to end up, and he's going to go anyway. There's going to be people with him, and he's going to end up, it's not going to be people, because he anyway goes to shul. He knows that he's going to, in the back of his mind, consciously, subconsciously, he's going to know that he has to, he's going to look at his watch, oh, it's time to go to shul. Because anyway he goes to shul. He's just somebody who sits and learns, and then eventually davens in the same place, he may get engrossed, he may get forget about learning, about davening. But if he learns and eventually goes to shul, we're not worried about him. Does that make sense? If somebody is able to teach Torah to others, then afilim ain't rogel lech beis haknesses mutter, kimin shehashor iveres, teschus harabim dover gadolhu. Now, if it's somebody who teaches Torah, then even if he's in a situation that he doesn't normally go to a minyan, nevertheless, he's fine. Afilim ain't rogel lech beis haknesses mutter, kimin shehashor iveres. The time is limited, teschus harabim dover gadolhu, and teaching Torah to others is a very great thing. And if the Yidden don't learn Torah now, they won't be able to learn Torah. So learn now. Even if it's a person who doesn't normally end up going to shul, but if he's teaching Torah, the Chabur of Yidden learning Torah together, he's teaching Torah, then it's fine. We're not going to tell him, you're not allowed to learn. We're not going to tell him. We're not worried We're not worried about it. Because teaching Torah is such a great thing. And if he's not going to be teaching them Torah now, who knows if they're going to be learning Torah at another point today. Therefore, we tell him, you know, you keep teaching Torah and hopefully you won't miss Shachris. Interesting, Shaila. What happens if there's a Shoima? We know in other areas of Halacha that there's a concept of a Shoima. What happens if there's one person who doesn't normally end up going to shul? He doesn't go to shul. There's no minyan in that village. There's no minyan. And he wants to learn Torah an hour or two before Shachris, but there's no minyan. So normally he would say it's a problem. You're not allowed to. No, within a half an hour, you've got a problem. Yeah, so not an hour or two. Within a half an hour, you've got a problem. But what happens if there's one person who's also learning there, but himself, he's not teaching him Torah. He's learning and he's learning. Can he act as a shoyma and tell him, you know what, you remind me when it's time to go to shul, remind me, and like this, you know, he's safe to learn Torah without having a problem of davening. Is that okay? Is he God, acting as a God? We know this shoyma from other areas of halacha. Does that work or not? No? Why is that? Very good. Very good. Could very likely that he also has the same problem. That's very very true. That if he's somebody that himself he hasn't davened, he won't be able to act as a shomer. What happens if that person has davened already for whatever reason? Then it would work. Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And Siv Zayin, Mota Leistape Veleikonis Lemecha Tzomal Rishachis. A person is allowed to go to the barber and to go to the bathhouse. Samoch Leshachis, just before davening. Shachis, Shaloi Gozra Lesomoch Lemincha, the Gzeira of not going to Baba, the Gzeira of not going to the bathhouse, is only been said with regards to not doing that before Mincha, Shodova Motze, which is common. Rabbi said, we know there's a Aloch, and we know that from the first peak of Shabbos. You're not allowed to go to the Baba, you're not allowed to Mishnah in Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to go to Baba, you're not allowed to go to bathhouse just before Mincha. Why is that? Because we all know if you're relaxed, you're comfortable, you know, it's fine, it's all fine. You forget the time a little bit. Bathhouse was very relaxing. You used to spend a long time there. Remember, there was no baths in the houses. So you used to have a communal bathhouse. And similarly, a bath, but you used to spend a long time there. So people may forget their time. They might end up forgetting Mincha. So Shaila is, does this also apply with regards to Shachris? If somebody wants to go to the bathhouse before Shachris, somebody wants to go to the barber before Shachris, they're allowed to do that, yes or no? So Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, yes, actually you are. Because this issa has only been said with regards to Mincha. He hasn't been said with regards to Shachris. The reason being, it's not a common thing to do. Not, most normal people don't go to the barber before Shachris. Can you imagine going to the barber before Shachris? Yeah, as far as that is concerned, that's a good point. That's a good point. So probably we're talking. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says, and it doesn't say it here. But probably what we're talking about, it could be that he said brachas already. Yeah. Now the Mishnah Berurah over here says something. So he says it's not stovah motzu. Since it's not motzu, it's not common. Therefore, it's muta. Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah over here says something which is famously quoted, and it's really really interesting. We'll finish off with that. The Mishnah Berurah says, bottom line, v'liknois tzorkei suda be'erev Shabbos koden filo shori. You're allowed to buy Shabbos items before Shachris on Erev Shabbos. The chefze shemayim heimo, these are items for the Ribbono shel Olam, ha'b'chol osu, but on a regular weekday, on a Wednesday morning, you won't be able to go shopping. So Mishnah Berurah says over here, famously quoted a very important Mishnah Berurah, you are allowed to go shopping for Shabbos before Shachris. Now, will this apply to go to Kuzhinsky, before Shachris, Rabbi Yisai? Will it apply to going before Kuzhinsky before Shachris? Question number one. Will it apply to go to Bikosha whatever it is and to buy, Mendy's. Excuse me, I'm not trying to, I'm just, kosher net, you name it, and you want to buy there, say, box of tissues you're going to need for Shabbos. I don't know. Would that apply as well? Yes or no? You need a couple of box of tissues for Shabbos. Can you do that before Shachris? Mishnah Berurah says, Chefetz Shemaim. Ilatu? Tzorkei Suda only. So I'll tell you what some poskim say, and you either take it or leave it. Some poskim say that we're referring to over here, because it sounds a bit bizarre. I mean, it doesn't sit so comfortable with me. that anything which you need for Shabbos, you can just go and buy in the shop. It just doesn't sit so comfortably with me. So what, I don't know what you think, Mr. Bele, but some person would therefore say, we're talking about over here is something, like in previous generations, Mishnah Berurah's times even, there was a market. You go to the market, and you know, there's a certain amount of carrots, certain amount of potatoes, certain amount of fish, certain amount of whatever, and once they run out, sorry mate, wait for, come back next week. And therefore, it's certain pressure. Now, if you don't buy it now, you're not going to have it anymore. And it's not going to be fresh, or you won't have it. Now, if it's just you want to go now for your own personal convenience, this halacha may not apply. But if you're right that if you're not going now, they may run out of stock, and there's not going to be any, you won't be running out of it for Shabbos, then that's what Mishnah Berurah is talking about. It's very likely, I don't know what you think about it, very likely that if you want to get a couple of boxes of tissues in Tesco's, and you know that if you're not going to buy now, you can be pretty confident they're going to have a box of tissues in 2 hours later, just for your own personal convenience. Could be that Mishmur was matter that. Could be. I mean, it's still considered Chepzeh Shemaim. I can hear it. Is that the question you want to ask?
The Mishnah Berurah gives a reason.
Chepzeh Shemaim.
Shemaim,
yeah.
He says that he gives his reason.
Yeah. Liknus Shabbos Kedem Tefilah Shorim. The Chepzeh Shemaim. I hear your point. I think it's a very valid point. So according to that, you'd be allowed to buy anything. So would you be, yeah, it's just, I hear. Rabbi Yisrael, what do you think?
So we're talking about only buying for Shabbos.
Correct.
So you couldn't buy things that you need.
No, if you're there, if you add another couple of items for after Shabbos.
Specifically for things that you
correct. Buy for if you're buying for Shabbos, you can definitely add a bit non-Shabbos, that's not a problem. Right. But if you go specifically for weekday matters, that he says, I'll be choil also if it's... Very good question. Chefzeh Shemaim. Very, very good. I am Rabbi Yisrael, what do you think? To buy items for breakfast share prior to Shachris. Breakfast share. What do you tell her? Also, I think it's probably Chefzeh Shemaim. I think it's probably Chefzeh Shemaim. I think it's probably be Mutter. I think it's probably Mutter. Yeah, but the question about, I hear your point about what you're pointing out. I hear what you're saying about that, but I still think that Masi would be a bit shred to matter. To recap what we covered today, Be'ezer Hashem, Yisboach Shemoy, we spoke about eating before Tainus, and we learned that it does make a big difference, unlike what I said earlier, it does make a difference within half an hour or not, if you're eating more than a kebetza. If you're not eating, if it's less than a kebetza, it doesn't make a difference within half an hour or not. Also, we learned that there's the Zohar Kodesh, which says that lechatchila is an inyan not to eat at all. We also mentioned, it was not mentioned over here, but we mentioned that one should remember to make it tznai if possible. And we also learned that Shulchan Aruch in Tzif Vov teaches us to learn Torah once his mantfile comes in is a problem. If you learn beichidus, it's going to be a problem. If you learn And if you daven b'chidus, if you daven with a minion, the issa doesn't apply. Similarly, if you daven b'chidus, but you're teaching others yidden Torah, that's fine as well, because a bit of Torah overrides it. Therefore, it's fine. And we also learned that to go to a barber or to go to bathhouse before shachris, that's fine. They never asked it. They only asked it with regards to mincha. Finally, we learned Mishnah Berurah teaches us in Sifkot Lamed Vav that liknos tzok es sudu be'erev Shabbos couldn't fill a shori because it's considered chefzeh shemaim. Good Shabbos, Rabbi Yisrael.